The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
You're listening to the Clare Byrne Show on News Talk. Now, the economic consequences of the war in the Middle East are beginning to be felt with energy prices rising. We've the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, so what more can we expect? Well, Marco Forgione is Director General of the Chartered Institute of Export and International Trade and an expert in international shipping. Marco, thank you for being with us this morning. This feels like a very serious moment in the sector that you operate in. Is that right?
Absolutely. This is possibly the most significant shock to global supply chains since COVID. And I'm sure we can all remember the challenges that we faced at that time.
So give us a sense of what the picture looks like at the moment with the Strait closed.
Well, the Strait is closed and it's unlikely to be opened very quickly. And there are a number of reasons for that. The first, of course, is the threat from Iran to attack shipping. Now, they've said that they won't do that, but we've already seen certain ships being attacked and hit. And that's resulted in the second but more important issue, which is insurance has been removed for ships transiting through Hormuz, which means ship owners aren't willing to take the risk of moving their ships. And so until that insurance issue is resolved, we're going to see an ongoing blockage to the Strait. Now, we saw President Trump yesterday make a move to try and address that by requiring or calling on Washington to provide insurance, which in itself has an impact for the UK because, of course, Lloyd's of London is the major shipping insurer. So this is a direct challenge to Lloyd's of London.
Now, he also said overnight on Truth Social, he raised the possibility of ships being escorted through the Strait of Hormuz. Would that make a difference? Is it practical? Would it work?
I think that would certainly within the US might cause some problems domestically for the president. And look, I'm sure the ships transiting would feel safer under an escort, but it doesn't remove the risk or threat and could possibly attract the attacks from Iran on the naval vessels, which might cause collateral damage, of course, to the tankers.
So, Marco, I mean, people listening to us will want to know, how is this going to affect me and what I have to spend every week to keep my household going? What will be the immediate impact?
Well, we're already seeing the pressure on prices for energy, which is going to be the first area hit. So the cost of oil and liquefied natural gas, which about 20% of which transits through the Strait of Hormuz. So those prices are going to go up. And now it could be just a short term impact if the attacks stop soon. But President Trump has been saying this is likely to run on for at least a month. So I think that we're going to start to see that really seeping through into the wider economy. And it's not just, you know, the cost of petrol at the fuel station. Energy is a key input for all manufacturing. The vast majority of products require industrial energy. Therefore, there's price pressure. And we saw the closest immediate link would be 2022 with the Russian invasion of Ukraine and the disruption to the energy market there. And if we looked at what happened in Ireland then, it was a 0.5% up to a 1% upward pressure on inflation. So you know, we should be preparing for that sort of effect if the attacks continue for many more weeks.
Now, I heard on the BBC early this morning about the concerns around fertilizer when it comes to shipping. And if fertilizer is impacted and access to it, Marco, that would mean all sorts of impacts on all sorts of products down the line. What are you seeing in that sector?
Yeah, and it's not just fertilizer. The Middle East is a key transit hub for lots of components and commodities, as well as consumer products. With the shutdown of the airlines in the Middle East is going to have a grave impact on high-value products such as pharmaceuticals and auto parts, which fly in and out of the Middle East regularly as key transit hubs, in addition to the shipping that goes through the region. So again, we're going to start to see upward pressure, inflationary pressure on prices. And if it continues for much longer, you might begin to see availability issues. You've got to remember, of course, that our supply chains and our just-in-time manufacturing processes are really dependent on a clockwork-like delivery of the ingredients, components, the commodities in order for manufacturing to take place. We don't store huge amounts of stock any longer. So we could start to see price increases, availability issues, or the curse of every consumer, shrinkflation.
All right, Marco, thank you very much for bringing us up to speed. Marco Forgione there is an expert on shipping. Patrick Bury is on the line as well, senior security lecturer at the University of Bath, former NATO analyst and army officer. Patrick, thank you for being with us today. It's just good to get your assessment of everything that has happened so far. But in this moment, and given our conversation there with Marco, I mean, that suggestion from Donald Trump that perhaps the American military could escort ships through the Strait of Hormuz. Marco, an expert in shipping, didn't seem to think that that would fly. What do you think?
Good morning, Claire. Good Thanks morning. For having us on. I think, I'm in the same boat. It's not really the Iranians that shut the Strait of Hormuz. It's the insurers and the shipping companies, and their threat tolerance. So,
but you know what? It does suit the Iranians, doesn't it, to cause as much chaos off the back of the strikes that have been carried out on them?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not belittling that and the fact that some tankers have been set alight, etc., and that the Iranians would like to target it. But it's about the threat, as I mentioned, the risk appetite, essentially. And if you think about it, if you're going to really, if you're a shipping company or an insurance company, go, OK, well, I think the US naval laydown and the escorting of ships is strong enough to be 100% sure, or enough that I'm willing to take that risk. I just think that's a bit too risky. It's certainly in the short term. Maybe if things calm down a bit in the longer term, and then they're able to do that. Mm-hmm. Because these ships, the Aegis defense missile defense systems on them is incredibly capable, radar and shoot down rates against missiles and drones. But I think in the short term, it's probably unlikely.
On the duration of the war, I mean, Donald Trump suggesting that this would be 4 or 5 weeks. We've seen the Iranian response now, which is to spread the theater of war across a broader area. It is somewhat unpredictable. Those missiles are being intercepted for now, certainly. What's your own assessment of how long this could carry on?
Difficult to say, immediately. But what I would say is a couple of trends emerging. So if you look at the launch rate of the missiles, so in the first day, the Iranians fired about 350 ballistic missiles at numerous different targets. And we know those across the nations in the Gulf and including Israel. 88% or so of those upwards was shot down, depending on the nation which is receiving them, of which the UAE, interestingly, has received more missile and drone attacks than Israel. So it goes to show you that they're imposing costs on the whole region, probably with a view, and especially targeting UAE, its close relationship with the Trump administration, and the impact it can have on the regional economy, being the major kind of transport hub as well. So that's interesting. But what's happened over since day one is about every day the missiles, and I'll just talk about the missiles here, are dropping by about 50%. Now that probably, it suggests anyway, that the missile launchers and the whole military supply system behind them is being attrited fairly fast.
This is on the Iranian side.
Exactly. Being attrited fairly fast. So 350 first day, 175 second day, about 80 the last day, and 50 the day just yesterday, from what we can tell. Now, but So that suggests that missile launchers, which would be the primary target for the US and Israel, because it costs so much to intercept them, and the interceptors' missiles are fairly rare comparatively. And obviously, they're still launching hundreds of drones, but the drones are more of a panic weapon. They don't carry the same kind of warhead, can't do the same kind of damage, can be pretty accurate. They've taken out some radar installations of the US, which is pretty smart by the Iranians, obviously targeting some hotels where you think and embassies where US officials are. But that's, you know, if you can nullify the ballistic missile threat to the same degree, you obviously maintain your stockpiles, and you can use other means, and, you know, short range missiles and electronic warfare, etc., fighter jets to take down the drones.
Patrick,
so that's the that's
sorry,
the
Patrick,
issue there,
to,
really.
Okay, Patrick, sorry to cut across you. We are going to talk to you again very soon on the programme, because I really value your expertise on all of this ongoing situation. But for now, Patrick Bury and Marco Forgione, thank you both for being with us.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.